So this is where they keep the illegal aliens, huh?
Oh, welcome, officers.
Welcome to the guys who stood around while people threw hockey pucks at us?
You're gonna come up here talking all that make America great crap, you're bound to catch a face full of Canadian tomato.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
So what are you going to do here? Go for the hat trick?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Big show today for you, lots to go over, fashion show basically today in terms of talking about all the new uniforms that have come out in the last week for a number of teams. I want to bring in our local, well, I guess she's not local anymore, but our resident fashion expert, Jenna Thompson. Jenna, how are you?
I am doing well. I'm excited to be here this week. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a fashion expert, but I mean, I guess with this show we might be after. But
we'll give you more credit than I would give myself in terms of fashion. So you're doing all right. how's everything going out in Edmonton for you, though? How's school? How's life? Are you finding your way through the battle right now?
Yeah, it's going well. I think right now it's the home stretch coming up here. So a little bit tired of it. But I mean, at the same time, I'm so close to being done, I think. Yeah, I have less than a month and I'm done my degree finally. So that's kind of the only thing keeping me going at this point.
Well, maybe there's something else to keep you going. Cause I mean, I know December everything shuts down and exams take place and you'll be busy doing some of that stuff, but a couple of weeks left in the McEwen first half of the season, a week left in Manitoba's. We have the first week of December off, obviously. Let's get your thoughts on how the season has gone so far, maybe from a McEwen perspective. First year in the league, first year, battling in at the Canada West level. What are your thoughts on how well McEwen has done so far?
I think that they've done pretty well. And I think, considering they're, one of those new teams, the underdog, I think they came out and surprised a couple teams for sure. But I don't know. It's nice to see them. Like, they're competing with pretty much every team right now. I just think their biggest thing is they can't put the puck in the net. Like, they cannot buy a goal to save their lives. Like, there's a lot of games where they maybe could have, probably won, but they just can't score. But at the same time, like, I'm so proud of how well they're doing and all the work that they're putting in, because it's nice to see them out there right now.
You are true to your word in terms of struggling to score. In 8 games, they have just 12 goals for. So
yeah.
The goals aren't coming in bunches by any means. But in saying that, though, I mean, it's not like, McEwen has played poorly. It's not like they, as you said, they've been sort of in every game. They haven't been really blown out by anybody. Have there been any surprises? Are you surprised by any of the, what you've seen on the ice? Have you been surprised by, any of the players who you sort of went, oh, I had no idea that player was that good or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. A lot of their first years, I think, kind of surprised me. Like, they have Erin Chambers there, who's first line everything. And I mean, I knew she was going to be like a decent player, but watching her play, like, she does not look like she's a first year. Normally, you have a little bit of like, it's just a confidence thing, right? And even now, like, she's doing so well and I don't think she has that confidence. But I think most of their first years, honestly, are like their key players this year. They have obviously some strong players that are a bit older too, but I think most of their first years, like, I remember going to watch a few of their practices at the beginning of the year and I was like blown away by just the level, like the talent level that they have already. And I mean, Lindsay's pretty good at helping people, grow as players and stuff. I know for me, when I started out there, I was not the best, and definitely turned that around a little bit. And just, I'm excited to see where these players go in the next few years. Cause like I said, right now, their first years are already coming in and they're starting games, their power play, they're doing everything that normally the older players do. I mean, then again, there is a lot of first years on the team, but I don't know. The whole team in general just kind of surprised me, you know, like they came out, they look like a very different team than what I'm used to.
Again, they're only 2 points out of a playoff spot right now, and they have two games in hand on Regina. So a chance really to make some noise. They're also within striking distance of Alberta, which I don't know if anybody would have suggested that at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Which,
I mean, that's just kind of crazy that both Edmonton teams are kind of in that spot where they're competing for a playoff spot. But in saying that, you've seen a few teams that we haven't. You've obviously seen a few teams a few more times than we've seen them anyway. What are your thoughts on the rest of the conference? How have you sort of looked at some of these other teams and gone, yeah, they're really good, or you know, we can beat them. Give us another shot at them and we can beat them.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of teams. I mean, like Calgary, for example, you know, they're pretty close with McEwen in the standings right now. I think their thing is depth. They don't have a lot of depth. They have a lot of single decent players, and like, not saying they have any terrible players, but just depth wise, they're not there. And then I don't know. I think Mount Royal, I mean, we knew they were going to be good this year. At the same time, like, McEwen did keep up pretty well with them. Again, it's the goal scoring though. And like, Mount Royal has those players that's going to put the puck away every time it's on their stick. And I just don't know if McEwen was ready for that, but I don't know. I think everyone right now, like I said, McEwen's keeping up. Do I think that they're going to like go blow out teams and like be higher up in the standings right now? No, but I don't know. So far, so good. I know they're playing Trinity Western this weekend, so hopefully that gives them a couple more points and just gets them up there. But I don't know. It's so far, like, it's good competition all around. Like, every game, there's not really any blowouts. It's not every game's been a pretty good game, which is, I mean, it is exciting when you're calling and it's exciting to watch, especially when it's a new team out there, right?
Regina in Calgary in terms of competing for that playoff spot. Alberta in Manitoba. So that should be a fun weekend for us out here. And then, as you said, McEwen out in Trinity Western. So really opportunity for points to be gained by all three teams if they can play well. In saying that, though, I want to point out the fact that, again, not that I'm trying to pick anybody off or call anybody out, but again, goaltending, you know, Natalie and Brianna, Natalie Bender and Brianna Sank have been fairly solid for you guys. Nothing to sneeze at in any way, shape or form. Like you said, it's just got to be the goal scoring to come around. But that's, and I hate to say it, that's one of those things that we talk about in terms of that experience at Canada West, where if you haven't played at this level, you don't know how good the goaltending is. And we see it every night that the goaltending in this conference is pretty elite. Like, there are a lot of great goaltenders playing in this conference, and you just go, all right, we gotta step up, we gotta adjust our game a little bit or whatever. And I'm not doubting that Lindsay can't do that, but second half of the season might be the chance where McEwen can make a real move if they want to move up the standings.
No, I 100% agree, and like you said, goaltending's huge. Like you said, even then, Bendy and Sank have been just standing on their heads, and all goaltenders in this league, like you said, it's a step up. And I think even in the ACAC, like, our team has never had, like, we've had a couple people who can put the puck away, but we've never had anyone who's going to score, you know, goal after goal after goal. Like, she needs to start looking at getting some goal scorers in there. I know a lot of the first years right now coming up, like, I think they will get there. Like, Haley Maurice, for example, she is an incredible player to watch. And I think, again, a confidence thing maybe, but they're going to have a couple coming up. Like you said, though, it's experience, right? Especially when you're not used to that high level of goaltending that is currently, you know, within the league.
I mean, special teams are doing okay for McEwen as well. I mean, tied for fifth with Alberta at 14.3%. They're 4-for-28 on the power play, so not bad by any means. And then penalty killing, they're tied for with Alberta for fourth. So you Edmonton teams are legitimately neck and neck when it comes to the special teams. But I just think that it's figuring out how to score 5-on-5. And that, again, that's a big part of that experience. So hopefully McEwen can turn it around. Has there been any surprise? I think the biggest surprise for me, and I'm not saying this is a monster surprise because somehow, some way, they always find a way, but UBC has been an outstanding team in terms of the contributions they're getting. And I think that for me, having seen them play sort of on video, I didn't get to see them in person, I'm a little afraid of UBC coming down the stretch.
Yeah, UBC has, like you said, they've always been, you know, a pretty good team, but I know Lindsay was kind of saying the same thing. That's one team that's, it wasn't surprising, but it was surprising, you know, like, we knew they were going to be good, but Yeah, they're definitely one team that I think every team should be a little bit scared of right now.
Well, again, we were talking about how goaltending in the preview show, the Canada West preview show, how goaltending really was maybe their crutch, maybe their Achilles heel, because they had virtually no experience there. And then you look at their stats and you go, Elise Hudgens has been ridiculous. She's 5 wins on the season already for the rookie. She's got 3 shutouts already. Like, her goals against average after 5 games is 0.40.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Like, what's going on there? And then again, you look at Reese Hiddleston, and she hasn't been bad either. I know she has 2 losses in her 3 games, but you look at Reese and you go, a 201 goals against average and an 891 save percentage isn't that bad. Yeah, the save percentage you might want to see a little bit higher, but UBC's inexperienced goaltenders are actually playing more like, you know, veterans at this point.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of things in this league that, like you said, it's not surprising, but it is surprising. And that's the only way that I can put it. Like, it's just, yeah. I don't know. It's just nice, though. Like, the competition is so nice to watch. And there's still some teams I'm a little scared of. Like, I'm glad that our girls don't have to go on down to Manitoba anytime soon. But I don't know.
We'll battle in the second half there out at Downtown Community Arena. And we'll certainly see you guys at that point. But, couple of big games this weekend. Obviously, keep an eye on UBC Saskatchewan. That might be a good test for the Huskies after they needed a couple of big wins against Calgary to get themselves back on track. UBC obviously coming in, and they're playing well. Again, Alberta and Manitoba will battle in Winnipeg. McEwen out at Langley to battle Trinity Western as the first-year teams get to battle each other for the first time this season. And Regina will be in Calgary at Father David Bauer Arena looking for points as those two battle for a final playoff spot right now if everything were to end. I got to say, for statistics-wise, obviously there are no, and I hate to say it, and I'm not trying to make fun of them, but there are no McEwen players near the top of the scoring race. 12 goals doesn't really get you there. That's okay, though. But again, I'm looking at players that have really sort of come on and really started to make a difference. And I mean, yeah. Shocked by a little bit by Tiana Coe, shocked a little bit by Courtney Coleman, not because they're good, not because they're scoring, but just the rate that they're scoring at. Like, they're just having an outstanding season. And then you look at UBC scores, the Sean Reed Bassies and the Shaylee McConnells, and you go, man, they're lighting it up as well. Like, there's some really good chemistry on some of these teams right now. I don't know how you stop that. I don't know how you break that up.
Yeah, I know, we noticed that with Mount Royal too, the chemistry, like, they just have those players to start with who can do it on their own, and you add that chemistry, and it is hard to stop, like you said, and it's dangerous. It's nice to watch until, you know, it's your team that it's against, but there's a lot of teams, even Calgary, for example, like I said, they're not doing, you know, the best, but at the same time, that the top liner to the chemistry that they have can be very dangerous. And I don't know, it's hard to stop once that chemistry is there, even if they're not, you know, putting pucks away. It's dangerous. Just they get the momentum going for their team. And I don't know, it's, like you said, dangerous.
The Hockey Show wants to pass on hopefully our best wishes to Holly Reuther. Holly went down early in the game on Saturday against Saskatchewan. I know she's from Winnipeg, and certainly I don't know if her family listens or not, but we still want to pass on our best wishes to her. And hopefully she's back on the ice soon. She's their leading scorer, 5 goals, 2 assists this season. So she'll certainly be missed if she's not back on the ice, if she's out for any length of time. But let's hope that Holly is back as well. I just got notes today that, again, that in terms of injuries from that game, there's another injury as well. Late in the game, there was a bit of a check from behind. Emily Holmes from the Saskatchewan Huskies broke her arm. Want to wish all the best to Emily as well in terms of getting back on the ice as quick as possible, because nobody likes to see injuries. I'm sure there are more out there that I don't know about, but those two, just from, you know, the physicality in that game on Saturday between Calgary and Saskatchewan, certainly played a little bit into that unfortunate situation where both players were injured. So
yeah, it's always scary when that happens. And yeah, like you said, just best wishes, and hopefully they can both, you know, get back on that ice sooner rather than later.
I'm going to transition a little bit away to the Hockey Show fashion show now, where we can have a laugh and basically call teams bad or blind or whatever description we want to use for them, because they either don't know what they're doing or don't know what hockey jerseys are supposed to look like. I'm going to start in the NHL, though. New Jersey's New Jersey jersey.
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds, New Jersey's New Jersey jersey is, in a word, awful.
Yeah.
I hate, and I cannot stress that word enough, I hate this jersey.
Yeah, I don't particularly enjoy it.
And again, I'm not trying to lump it all on one guy. Martin Brodeur reportedly had a heavy hand in designing this. And what they did is they pulled jersey elements from other teams that were based in New Jersey. The Newark Bulldogs, for example. The Rivervale Skeeters, for example. The Jersey Larks were the three teams that they basically centered this jersey around in terms of making it work for them. I'm going to be honest. No. Like, no. Like, yeah. Hockey is a game that's filled with color. Like, we have blue lines, we have red lines, we have white ice, we have all sorts of different colors out on the ice. What is with teams going black? I don't understand the necessity to have a black jersey in your wardrobe when I get that, hey, black's part of our color scheme. I get that. I get it. But you don't need to go to black when you have all sorts of different options for white and red already for the Devils.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not even the black part that I hate. For one, I get like when you're saying like, you know, Jersey, like for example, Vegas, you're not putting, you know, Las Vegas, blah, blah. But like Jersey, the word Jersey, you can't just put that on a jersey. I get against, but I just it, like, I know it's a jersey. That's the first thing I think of when I look at it, you know, like I just, for certain, I get it. I get what they were trying to do, you know, but like they said, Vegas, you don't put Las Vegas. It's just Vegas.
Okay. But this has been done before though. This has been done before though. Cause Buffalo wore Buffalo across their alternate jersey. The Dallas Stars wore Dallas across their chest a few years ago. Like this isn't new. And this is the thing.
My thing is just that like, because of it's jersey on a jersey, that's the part that I don't like personally. Like it just, I don't know.
But I don't understand why teams want to take away their logos. Like this is the thing that kills me. The logo is your brand. Like that's what you're known for. Mm-hmm. And again, when you think about things like, and again, I'll just throw it out there. When somebody mentions the team Pittsburgh Penguins, you don't think of, oh, well, the word Pittsburgh or the word penguin. You're thinking of that logo. The first thing that comes to your mind is the logo. If you didn't see the New Jersey Devils, if you had no idea what the Devils logo looked like, this jersey gives you no idea.
Yeah.
That's your brand. You need to wear your damn logo if you're going to be a logoed hockey team. I don't get this. This is not like the Rangers can get away with it. The Rangers, they wear their diagonal New York Rangers. The Rangers wear it across their jersey. I get that. That's the Rangers thing. Like that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Yes, they've had logos in the past. They've had shields and stuff in the past in terms of the New York Rangers, but the New Jersey Devils have a logo. Just wear the logo.
Yeah. All around, every time I say the word jersey, I laugh because I'm like looking at it and just that part really gets to me. But yeah, I agree. The logo would be like a nice little touch. I get you're trying to go for something different than your other two jerseys, but like, I don't know, this is not it.
You know, but again, the style that they've done it in is not different because there was another team that had the similar type of jersey. The Winnipeg Jets had that script jersey that had the word Jets on it, mm-hmm. which have been mothballed now because they're awful.
Yeah.
What are you trying? Why are you pulling out garbage designs to recreate your team in? Nobody liked the Jets script jersey. Just don't use that option. But yeah. I'm just, I hate black jerseys, and two, I hate the fact that this has no elements on it at all. All it is marketing buzzwords and catchphrases. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah, even the like when they're trying to do like the five stripes for the, you know, players that have had their numbers retired. Like yeah. I just don't think there's probably like a different way you could go about it. That it's weird. I don't know.
We're wearing it 13 times because of Nico Hischier. No, you're not wearing it 13. That's what the league has allowed you to wear. You're allowed 13 times by the NHL, not because Nico Hischier is wearing number 13. Like, get off this crap. It drives me nuts. The 21 white stripes are you know, when added together are indicative of the 21 counties in New Jersey. No, no. Again, you didn't come up with that on your own.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate it all. I hate everything about the New Jersey. And it'll, I mean, I know, you know, for lack of a better term, it could burn in hell, but they're already going to be worn by the Devils. So,
yeah. that was a good one.
Team Canada decided to add a little black to their coloring as well for the Olympics. Thoughts on the Canadian Olympic jerseys?
I don't hate them. They're different. That's for sure.
May I offer that I do hate them?
Do you? Yeah.
What? Why are we allowed? And I know the answer. I actually went and found the answer yesterday because there was a debate about it on social media. But if we're not allowed to wear Hockey Canada, the Hockey Canada logo, right? Like, there are no nation that's allowed to wear their Hockey Federation logo at the Olympics, let alone any other sport having their federation on any of the uniforms that are worn as well. But it's pretty clear that black, white, and red are Hockey Canada's colors.
Yeah.
If we're not allowed to wear the logo, why are we allowed to wear the colors? You don't see Finland going out there and putting a black jersey on. You don't see Sweden going out there and putting a black jersey on as an alternate. You don't see, again, what is this obsession with black?
Yeah.
Drives me nuts. So, again, I said I went searching. I went hunting. I decided I needed to find out why Canada is allowed to wear black at the Olympics, because it makes no sense to me. None whatsoever. In every thought, every instance, every, you know, plausible reason, there is no reason for Canada to wear black, except, and this is what I found out from 2010. I had to go all the way back to 2010 to find the information. Chris Rudge, who was CEO of the Canadian Olympic Committee at that time, told the Globe and Mail, quote, "We bought that explanation and said to Alpine Canada, yellow was fine." Apparently, Alpine Canada had been wearing yellow for the longest time and said, "Hey, like, this, these are our uniforms. Like, we're not buying new uniforms just because."
Yeah.
And so Rudge said, "Okay, like, okay, well, we get that." And then he added, quote, "The IOC doesn't have an actual rule on colors for the national team uniforms, but they, quote, suggest it reflect national colors," unquote. That made some sense to us. Canadian sport fans want to be able to identify who their athletes are. We had a multiple palette of colors, even with purple speed skating suits. Uh-huh. So Canada, who has worn a wide range of colors, basically has said, we'll just wear whatever we've been wearing forever. Like, we're not going to force anybody to buy new uniforms. Except every Olympic Games, Hockey Canada has to have new uniforms.
Yeah.
And they always include black, which makes no sense, because the IOC is suggesting that it reflect national colors, I want somebody to point out the black in the Canadian flag to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where it is, because Denmark doesn't wear black.
Yeah.
Sweden doesn't wear black. Finland doesn't wear black. The US doesn't wear black. Like, they all use their flag color. The only country that doesn't is Canada.
Yeah, hey. Fair point.
Again, it just bothers me that we have to think that we're different when it comes to playing in the Olympics. We're already different. We're going to win a gold medal. Like, that's the difference. But we don't need to wear black to try and intimidate other teams. Nobody's intimidated by Team Canada anymore. They just know that Team Canada is going to be good.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. And I get that there's some goaltending psychology behind it, in that if you can't see the puck, you can't find the rebound sort of thing or whatever. So if a puck hits a goalie and it's still loose, you can't see it. I get that point. I get that part of it. I'm not faulting goaltenders for this. Goaltenders can wear what they want. But I'm just tired of seeing black in the sport of hockey when it comes to jerseys, because there is no need for the sport to just be black and white. There is a wide range of coloring that we should be able to use and should be able to see. Don't tell me that the Trey Kroner doesn't look great when you see it on the ice, when you see Sweden flying around the ice. It looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why we should be encouraging Canada to wear the red and white more often.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think my biggest the biggest thing is, like, the maple leaf on them for me. it's not really a maple leaf. I don't know.
There have been comparisons to an anatomy part for that.
Yeah, I saw that, and it kind of looks like a marijuana leaf in my eyes.
Well, again, I'm not saying that good, bad, or indifferent. I'm not saying that that's what they are. But at the end of the day, again, we really need to stop trying to be cool with our Olympic jerseys and just go back to things that work well, which is maple leaf, or heck, go back to the old Canada Cup jersey with the half maple leaf, half white, or whatever they wore in 72 or whatever. Like, let's get back to basics and stop worrying about making the Olympics into a fashion show, because it's not a fashion show. It's an athletic competition.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know. I just, that bothered me a little bit in terms of the setup on that. But
yeah, I feel like they've had a lot better jerseys in the past that they could have just, you know, revamped a little bit and made them a little different. And there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I would have taken the ones they wore in Sochi. I would have taken the ones they wore in Pyeongchang again. I'm not complaining about any of those or whatever. Just stop wearing black. That's all I ask. So
fair. Okay.
The U.S. unveiled their new uniforms as well on Wednesday. What did you think of the U.S.'s, I'm going to say, minimalist design?
I was going to say it's very, I kind of like that though. Like just the, it's simple.
See, and I don't disagree with you. I like the simplicity of it.
No, yeah, I think I do too, though. Like that's,
I mean, it's easy to read. It's easy to read. It's easy to see. I mean, it's one stripe. But I think there should be a little bit more color on there. I mean, maybe find a hem stripe or something. But at the end of the day, it does exactly what it needs to do. You're Team USA.
Exactly. Like you said, yeah, maybe a little stripe on the bottom or something because it kind of just looks like a long sleeve shirt. But
right.
Like I do like this. And like you said, the colors, like they got the colors. It's simple. It does what it needs to do. You can tell who it is, you know?
I'm okay with, I'm not fully excited about Team USA. Again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm going to cheer for Team USA by any means, but
yeah,
I mean, comparatively to Canada, I would take USA's jerseys at this point only because it's made for function, not for fashion.
Mm-hmm.
The team that might have won the entire competition, the fashion show this week, though, was Finland.
Yeah, I agree.
Finland's jerseys are absolutely magnificent. I love the way they look. And I honestly think that they're going to be, again, I know it's not a fashion show, but they're going to be one of the best dressed teams at the hockey event.
Yeah, I like them. Like, they're simple, but not. Like, there's, like, small little details that just kind of make them a little bit more unique, but they're still simple. And I like the logo. I just, all around, they are the ones that did a great job with these new jerseys.
I agree. The one thing that I think people are going to be, if you haven't seen them yet, I mean, definitely look them up. But if the one thing that people might be the most sort of surprised about is there's no Suomi on the front this year.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist. They've got the lion instead on the front for both the men and the women. And I mean, I think that they did right. I think they're gonna look really good when they hit the ice. And certainly, I mean, you won't mistake them as not being Finland. They are definitely Finnish jerseys. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, like I really like these ones. Like I would like one.
All of a sudden, Jenna's now Finnish. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I'm gonna move there.
Gotta say that whatever happens in the Olympics, obviously things are going to start heating up in the next few weeks and months. Keep your ears and eyes peeled on social media, on sports sites, because teams will be named and players will be named coming up as we get closer to the date, as it happens in February 2022 in Beijing. So keep your eyes peeled on that, folks. Well, another big story that happened this week is there were some changes to the Hockey Hall of Fame committee. Now, for those that know, people just basically stay on that committee until they're either dead or they're carted out as whatever, in whatever form they can find at that point. But Mike Gartner is one of them. The other is Cammy Granato, which I think is long overdue, not only from a hockey standpoint for women's hockey, but a human standpoint, as having another woman on the committee along with Cassie Campbell Pascal.
Yeah, I agree. Like it's been a long time coming, especially just, she's like a huge, you know, she's had an impact on women's hockey for forever. And like you said, just adding another woman to that is also huge, but just great for Cammy because it's been a long time coming, definitely.
Well, and I mean, you look at, I mean, again, she's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. There's no, she's one of the first women to be voted in. She certainly knows she's got the hockey. She's married to Ray Ferraro. Her brothers are working in hockey still. I mean, she's working in hockey. She's a scout with the Seattle Kraken. Like, there's all sorts of great things about Cammy's appointment to the committee. But I look at this and I just go, like, we have two women on the committee now. This better start changing the way that the voting happens now, because for far too long, for far too often, I get that there are good men's players that should get in, but there are great women's players who have not got in simply because there's nobody voting for them.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know. It's just, like you said, it's good to have that for that reason. And it's got to change at some point. Like, it can't be a boys club forever. So this is a huge step towards that.
So yeah, so Mike Gartner will be the new chair after John Davidson basically fulfilled his selection, but Granato will replace Gartner on the board there. But again, she should hopefully make an impact. Her and Cassie Campbell definitely know enough about hockey that they should be able to make an impact and make some good recommendations and hopefully some sway some opinions about some of the women's hockey players that should be in there that are not yet. I know there's a lot of historical teams, a lot of historical players beyond the sort of the modern era, we'll say from the 90s onward, that should be in there. But I don't think that there's ever been a second thought given to it by the men that currently sit on that voting committee. And people can say, oh, whatever, like you know, you can say whatever you want. And I will say whatever I want. But at the end of the day, there needs to be the same historical buildup of women's hockey as what we see in men's hockey in order for people to go, this game has been around for a lot longer than just the last 21 years.
Yeah, I agree. It's been like a long time coming. And like you said, there's nothing really ever brought up from like the past. It's all recent, which that's great that we can have that. But like you said, it's been around a lot longer than what most people even know. So
I brought this up a long time ago. I mean, we're talking like when I first started the blog, like my hockey blog in Canada, there was a team, the Preston Rivulets. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No.
Okay. So Preston Rivulets were a team that were based in Ontario. Now there's a lot to talk about this team. Like it's a team that basically was around in the early 1930s. It was an all women's team that played out of Ontario. So you kind of go, okay, well, you know, like there should be some historical record. There are a few pieces here and there. This is a team that legitimately, I mean, they're already in the Hockey Hall of Fame. The Rivulets are the first team inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. They're voted in along with the 47-48 Maple Leafs, the 49-50 Detroit Red Wings, the 59-60 Montreal Canadiens is one of the greatest teams ever. This team dominated hockey for 10 years. They won 10 Ontario titles, 10 Eastern Canadian championships, and 6 Dominion championships. Like, this team won everything. Their record in 10 years, do you want to give a shot at what you think they went? Give me a stat. What do you think? How many games do you think they won in 10 years?
I don't know.
They had a record over those 10 years of 352-3.
Jeez.
They lost 2 games and tied 3 while winning 350.
That's insane. I love that.
So you go, okay, they're great. They certainly. In their first two seasons, they went a combined 21-0-1, and they outscored their opponents 151-9.
Wow.
They didn't just beat teams, they pummeled them.
Yeah, wow.
And so you go, okay, this team is voted in. Like, that's great that they're already in there. Like, what are you even making a big deal about this for? One of the women that was a key player for this, Hilda Ranscombe, is not. Hilda Ranscombe legitimately was one of the best players, one of the best athletes in her era. And she is not in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Wow.
She was their leading scorer basically every year.
That's right?
Like, remember, 151-9 in goals. Like, that we're not even talking about, you know, like that's two seasons. They scored 151 goals.
Yeah, that's insane.
So we're talking about one of the greatest scorers in women's hockey history of all time. And she's not in the Hockey Hall of Fame. But these are the people that laid the groundwork for the Cammy Granatos, for the Cassie Campbell Pascals, the Angela Jameses. Like, these are the women that were laying the groundwork. I mean, we're talking, this is almost 100 years ago now.
Yeah.
And we have that team in there. And again, Hilda needs to be recognized. Again, she's won all sorts of stuff. She was named the Female Athlete of the Year of the 20th Century by the Cambridge Sports Hall of Fame. Female Athlete of the 20th Century.
That's crazy.
The Rivulets were inducted into the Canadian Hall of Fame for their achievements. They're in the Cambridge Sports Hall of Fame. They're in the Hockey Hall of Fame, again, that were voted in back in 1963. But their leading scorer is not. And you go, man, like, why? What's preventing her from getting in? And yeah, this is the thing that I want to see. I don't want to use the term corrected, because corrected makes it sound like it was a mistake. But these are the oversights I want to see made real. I want to see these made into real thing. And I'm not talking, like, this is just one example. There are examples of women in the US. There are examples of women in Europe that legitimately paved the way for the current crop of women that are playing hockey that need to be honored for what they did.
Yeah, I agree. Well, yeah, even then you compare it to like what you see in the Hockey Hall of Fame from like, you know, the men's side. They have, you know, the teams, but they also have all the players, the whatever. And like you said, she's the one that, or not her specifically, but they're the ones that paved the way for women's hockey to be like where we're at now and for the future as well, you know?
But this is the thing is that we continually look at, and again, I get there's a recency bias. Like people always remember things that happened most recently to them. They never look back further. They never go back further because it, again, if it didn't happen to them, who cares? But this is the kind of stuff where you go, you can make a real impact by putting this woman into the Hall of Fame and letting people read about her and going, oh man, like she sounded like she was incredible.
Yeah.
So you kind of go, what are you going to do here? Like, how are you going to change this? And having Cammy Granato now as part of that committee, I think makes that effort a little bit more real.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely, it shouldn't be a huge step, but it is a huge step, you know?
Well, I mean, let's hope it's not a giant step because, I mean, obviously we want to see, you know, a few more women maybe get in there, especially because the Hockey Hall of Fame doesn't care. It's not the NHL Hall of Fame. It is the Hockey Hall of Fame. Let's be clear on this. So I'm all for hoping that, you know, we see a little bit more in there, but who knows? We'll see exactly what goes on and who gets in where starting next season with two women on the voting committee now as opposed to just one. So speaking of women, want to point out somebody who's doing some awesome stuff from here in this Manitoba. Stonewall's Amy Martin. We've had her on the show before, for those that don't know her. Amy Martin is a referee in this province, and she's done a whole bunch of stuff through Hockey Canada. She's refed Canada Winter Games. She's done, like, she is one of our best referees by far, like top referees in the province. Amy Martin, she is basically going to be officiating at the 2022 IIHF Under 18 Women's World Championship in Linköping, and she was selected for that this week. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good to see her going over there, which will be, I mean, again, she's good. She knows what she's doing. She's fantastic. She's also, starting tomorrow, she'll be in Ottawa, Ontario, where she is part of the 2021 Capital City Challenge taking place in Ottawa, Ontario. For those that don't know what that is, the Capital City Challenge basically is the three men's under 17 teams and Canadian national women's team who are going to play against each other in a small little mini tournament as the Canadian national women's team gets set up for the Olympics. So she will be officiating games in Ottawa for those four teams as they get everything set up. Anyway, Amy's one of the best that we have. She does all the Canada West games, well, not all of them, but a bunch of the Canada West games here for us at the Bisons. I want to congratulate Amy Martin in terms of her ability as well. I don't know if she was officiating when you were there, Jenna, but
it's been a hot minute. So
but at the same time though, I mean, I know that you've had your run-ins with officials and
to say the least. But no, I don't think, not that I can remember. And like I said, it's been a very long time, so
that's okay. That's all right. Obviously, proud of Amy in terms of what she's been doing and what she's getting done. I want to bring up a fun story now. And I know we didn't talk about this a little bit prior to the show, but I want to bring up a fun story because I don't know if anybody's aware of this. And I don't know if anybody's paying attention to it, but Utica Comets, you may know them fairly well or not at all. Utica Comets are the AHL affiliate of the New Jersey Devils, whose jerseys we both hate. Utica Comets are having themselves one heck of a season right now. Now, for those that don't know, Moose are playing their games mostly in the West and don't have to worry about crossing over to the East very often. You know, we rarely ever get to, we'll never see Utica come to Manitoba and vice versa. So the only time we would see them is if they meet in the Calder Cup playoffs, which, okay, like no big deal. If that's the case, then that's the case. But as it stands right now, the Utica Comets hold the record set this year, hold the record for most wins to start a season. They are currently 13-0.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's impressive.
They have 12 regulation wins. They have one win that was settled by a shootout against the Providence Bruins. That was way back at the beginning of October. So they have been on a bit of a tear.
Yeah, no kidding.
So they broke that record last Saturday. I should mention that. They broke that. Oh, excuse me, last Friday. Last Friday they broke the record. that was held by the 1984-85 Rochester Americans, who started the season 11-0. So you think about how hard it is to win 13 in a row in any sport, let alone hockey, but to do 13 in a row from the beginning of the season.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Like, that's very impressive.
Looking at the stats on that, and you can laugh about that. Only three wins have been by one goal. They have legitimately been pounding teams as well. Wow. They've only allowed three goals twice in the 13 games they've played.
Wow.
So
wow.
Yeah, get the job done at both ends of the ice, which is pretty good. Over the course so far of the season, they've outscored their opponents 54-24.
Wow.
They're doing it. They're getting the job done, right? They're getting everything. Yeah. Special teams are working. They're clipping along. They're top five in both of those, both power play and penalty kill. They're doing great there, but they haven't been shorthanded or on the power play very often. So they're doing this basically at 5-on-5 play, which is pretty good. There's a distinctly Canadian flavor in here because the Canadian teams that they are playing against have not fared well. That would be Toronto, Belleville, and Laval. Laval has lost twice. Toronto's lost once. Belleville has lost once. The three Canadian teams have been outscored 18-8 in those four games.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, not the greatest at that point. Not so good.
It could be better, I guess.
Could be better, yeah. We'll see what happens. They'll play Rochester again this week, or they play Rochester again this week. Then they have a pair of games against the Charlotte Checkers. The Comets will not play a team. This is the funny part about the AHL schedule, again, because we talked about how they don't cross over in terms of the two conferences. The Comets won't play a team that they haven't already seen this season until Saturday, December 4th.
Oh, wow.
That's when they'll visit Hartford, Connecticut for a date with the Wolfpack. So
interesting.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens at that point, because they're just beaten up on their own, basically on their own conference, their own division right now. So it's impressive. 13-0 to start a season so far. And with every new win, it's a new record at that point. So
yeah, I still am not over, like, all I've said is wow. That is unheard of.
I will point out, though, and this is where you can go, oh my God, head coach of the Utica Comets this season, you know who that would be? He had a cup of coffee with the Canadian women's national team.
Who?
Kevin Dineen is the head coach.
Oh.
So Kevin Dineen, who took some time and went and coached the women's national team to a gold medal at the Olympics. He is now coaching in Utica and has that team just clipping along.
No kidding.
Let's not question Kevin Dineen's ability to coach at all, ever, because it seems like all he does is win, which is pretty awesome. So,
yeah, well, good for him.
Yeah. So,
it's a lot of wins.
It's a big story in terms of, I mean, I was going to ask how many other teams. There are no other teams that have started their season with 13 straight wins, so. I want to throw one more jersey at you, because I never got a chance to actually mention this, and I totally forgot about it until I saw it just a minute ago. North Dakota has a new home alternate. The University of North Dakota, who only has a men's team, has a new home alternate. Jenna, I don't know if you've seen the picture, but I'll send it over to you if you haven't. I hate it. And it's not because it's black. Like, don't get me wrong. They have a black jersey that I absolutely despise as well, because I don't think that North Dakota should wear black. They're a green and white team. But I hate it because they have Nodak on the front. Nodak, which drives me to the point of insanity. So they decided to come out with this fourth jersey that they have. This is their fourth, remember? Oh. They have a green, they have a white that have the Fighting Hawks, and then they have the logo. Like, they don't wear their Hawk logo on the front of their jersey, though, for their white or for their green. And they aren't wearing it now for this home alternate. And you go, why don't you want to wear your logo anywhere but your shoulder, North Dakota? What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't like these jerseys at all.
Like I get what they're doing in terms of the green and white. Like, the green and white, I don't have a problem with. Don't like the Nodak on them. Nodak is, again, you can be from North Dakota and you can refer to yourself as, you know, as being from Nodak. I get that. but it is not your school name. It is not your team name. Don't put it on a jersey.
Yeah, I just can't stop staring. I really do not. Again, I like the green and the white. That's not a problem for me. But yeah, it just, yeah. That's all I can say is it.
They haven't announced when they're going to be wearing them yet. I assume they're probably going to be wearing them coming up shortly. I think there's a nationally televised game coming up, so maybe they'll be wearing them there, which is fine. Whatever. Do whatever you want. But what do you need your college team? What do you need four jerseys for? I get the black ones are used when they want to change their four. Like, they usually use them when they're on a winning streak or whatever. They want to change their fortunes. They want to go on a winning streak or whatever. They want to break a losing streak. Like, they go to their black jerseys out of superstition. I get that. I understand that. I understand the superstition. I don't agree with it, but I understand.
Yeah.
They wear their greens. They wear their home whites often, which is what they're supposed to do. Why do you need a fourth jersey as a college team?
Yeah, I mean, I get your school's got money. That's great. But if you're going to do it, again, you probably don't need four jerseys. If you're going to do it, at least make it good, you know?
Well, yeah. And so,
like,
I mean,
spending the money on it, might as well make it, like, you know, something nice.
Well, but I mean, at some point, please, I'm begging you, North Dakota, wear your damn logo on your chest.
Yeah. Yeah. I just can't stop staring at these jerseys
right now. No, Dak. No, Dak. Again, jersey. No, Dak. Like, what are we doing with these stupid monikers being put on jerseys? Now I'm mad again.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I don't.
I don't understand it. I don't. And again, if they were black, I probably would have just already driven down to North Dakota and burnt the school down. But
yeah.
But at the end of the day, at least they're white jerseys, which is fine. I get it. You can only wear them, you know, so many times. They're alternates. But no, Dak is no thanks to me. That is just a hard no, Dak.
Yeah, I don't. I can't. I hate them. Like, I hate. It just, they're no.
Right. They're a no. That's exactly how I feel about them. Like, stop with this stupid. It reminds me of when the Senators wore Sens across their jersey, or when the stupid Lightning wore Bolts on their jersey. Like, yeah. No, stop.
Yeah, that's not your name.
Or the Hurricanes wear the Canes jersey. No, stop. Yeah. You're not the Canes, you're the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. I don't like these. I'm still staring at the picture, and they're just getting worse and worse. I need to close that picture now.
Yeah.
It like hurts my eyes after a while.
Good old no, Dak. There you go. See, that's what I'm here for, is to make sure that, you know, these are going to haunt your memory now in terms of what happened. I don't know. To me, I look at this and I go, okay, like, I know that there's always a push out there, you know, New Jersey. I want to get a New Jersey. I want to, you know, we want to have to, our team wants to, you know, look like, you know, a little more cool. We want to be able to, you know, whatever, like whatever. But, and I know Manitoba wore, they had a yellow alternate jersey that I thought they should have maybe kept and used a little more often, but whatever, they don't. They just have a brown and they have a white now, which is fine. Dinos wore their black jerseys the other night in Saskatchewan.
Oh, did they?
And I hate those jerseys, because every time I look at them, all I think about is Jurassic Park. That's legitimately the only thing I come up with. And I go, what do you need a black jersey for, Calgary? You have red jerseys and they look great. No, yeah. We're going to go black on this weekend.
Interesting. I don't think I've seen those, to be honest with you.
You haven't seen the black jersey? No.
No.
Oh, I've got. You can laugh.
Yeah, they wore red against us.
Right, they wore red here too, and I'm okay with that. Like,
I like the red ones. They're
right, bright. I think that the red looks fantastic on them. I have no problem with that. But when I see them in their black jerseys, I legitimately just go, "Why? What are you doing?" Like, no. And of course, that's exactly what we get, is an awful looking jersey at that point. So, I don't know. I just I legitimately just get angry because it drives me bananas when I see them, and I just go, no, like, this is not how they're supposed to look.
Yeah.
So you can laugh at that. I just sent you the
oh yeah. I have seen those. I was just kidding. Yeah, I don't like those. Like you said, the red ones, like, you, The red ones are good. You got white, you got red. Like, that's your color.
Those are your school colors, exactly. No, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand why teams think that they have to introduce a black jersey when they want to introduce an alternate jersey. If you want to make, you want to go, you know, something weird, something different, then go weird or different. Don't just go black. Like,
yeah,
there's no point to that. Like, if the Jets came out in black, I mean, when the Jets came out in charcoal, I was horrified by that.
Yeah.
If the Jets came out in black, again, expect me to be down there trying to light a fire at the at Canada Life Center, because don't wear black.
Yeah, if it's not your team color, you know, just don't do it.
I don't know. I can't stand the fact that every team thinks they need a black jersey. So, like San Jose should not wear black. Philadelphia should not wear black. Sorry, you don't get to wear that. Chicago, who has the name black in their name, Blackhawks, should not wear black. They have a gorgeous red jersey. Wear the red.
Yeah.
But we don't. We continually try and force these black jerseys down our throats, and I don't get it.
I mean, it's also, you know, a business. Like we said, a lot of people do like the black. That's what they're going to sell them for.
Sure. And I get... we need to... I mean, this is a topic all on its own. We need to remember that hockey is a game, and I get the NHL is a business. Like, we need to separate the two, that the game is different than the business. If the NHL wants to sell fashion jerseys, make all the black jerseys you want, but don't let the teams wear them on the ice.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest here, is that your team needs an identity, and if you're throwing a black jersey into there all the time, it's not going to be the identity you want for your team. Like, I can't think of any team that's looked better in a black jersey. You went, oh yeah, no, that's how they should look.
Yeah.
None. I can't think of any. I mean, obviously Pittsburgh and Boston have that. They're black and yellow already. Like, they kind of understandably get a pass on that. The Kachina maybe counts because they wore black for the longest time. It looks better in black, although I prefer the white jersey much more than I do the black jersey. But any other team, stop.
Yeah.
Like, Washington went black, looked awful. They got rid of that. No, we don't want that. We went back to the old red Capitals. Exactly. That's the way you should look. I don't know. I get frustrated with the fact that you're right. You're entirely right, Jenna, and that it is a business, and this is being marketed to people that are going to buy these jerseys, but they don't need to wear them on the ice then. Just market them as fashion jerseys, not as actual game jerseys.
Yeah, fair.
And if you want to do an alternate that's different than everybody else, then do something different. Don't go black, because it's been done to death.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, again, maybe
like, switch it up a little bit.
Maybe this is just old man yelling at clouds kind of guy here. So. Before we get out of here, though, we got a few minutes left. I do want to promote the fact that we're going to be at home this weekend for the last time before January. So if you were planning on coming out to watch Bison women's hockey this year, now's the best time to do it, because it'll be 2022 before we get to do that again. The Alberta Pandas are in town, our most hated and most evil rivals, even though they're pretty good people and they're not actually evil at all. But yeah. The Pandas are in town. Want to welcome them to town with a little cold weather, although it's going to warm up on the weekend. Happy to have them in town. Certainly excited to see them play again, and happy to have Howie Draper come back, because we always have a good chat with Howie, usually off the air. But always good to have the Pandas back, because it's always going to be an exciting game, exciting sort of matchup of games for that. Your team, Jenna, the McEwen Griffins are out in Trinity Western. Are you guys done? No, you guys have one more weekend after that, right?
Yeah, I believe we're at home. No, we're not. They're away again. It's the men's team that's at home, I think.
What?
I can't remember right now. I'm trying to look at my schedule, but I think that, let me take a look here. I have it. Yeah, the third and fourth weekend.
Oh yeah, you guys are home. You guys are home.
Oh no, we're at home as well. It's just,
you're home with the neighbors.
Yeah,
there you go. Alberta. So you guys get Alberta after. If I'm not saying this is entirely ethical, but if Lindsay wants, if she just, you know, wants to slide us a few extra dollars, we'll put an extra hard beating on Alberta for you if you want.
Yeah. You can just do it anyways.
Okay, do it anyway. All right, we'll do that. That's
that would be ideal.
So if you're coming down, get down to I guess that's downtown Community Arena for you guys in terms of seeing that last game. That'll be on the fourth, last night of Canada West play in 2021 before we move to the second half of the season. If you're coming down this weekend to catch the Bisons, make sure you come down on Friday at 7 p.m. 6:30, the pregame will be on Canada West TV and on 101.5 UMFM, the second stream. Make sure you get down and check that out. But we'll be live on the air at 7 p.m. on Friday, 2 p.m. on Saturday is the game times against the Pandas. It'll be a good battle against a team that we always like to see come to town. With that, Jen, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, not that I can think of. Just thanks for having me again. I missed
first,
it.
First games back will feature Bisons at McEwen in January. So we may have to reconvene and discuss wins and losses at that point.
Yeah, we'll have a little chat, I'm sure.
I'm sure we will. So with that, folks, we're out of here for another week. Please stay tuned. Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on the station. Thanks for tuning into the Hockey Show, everybody. It's been another fun one. We'll talk to you next week here on Thursday.
Gotta relax.
This is Earth Radio. And now here's human music.
Human music. I like it.
Human music heard live on CJUM 101.5 in Winnipeg.
This winter, the town of Stonewall is transforming Kinsman Lake at Quarry Park into an outdoor hockey rink for the first time ever. This great, fun-filled family weekend taking place from February 18th through the 20th will feature a Save Pond Hockey celebrity game with Canadian hockey legend Haley Wickenheiser, a pond hockey tournament, skills competitions, a hockey and sustainable items marketplace, family skating, a beverage garden, live music, and oh so much more. Check out umfm.com or outdoorhockey.club to find out how to register your squad today. Play hockey in the great outdoors while protecting your community for future generations. Help stick it to climate change. Sign up for the Save Pond Hockey 3-on-3 tournament today.